Blog Talk Radio.
Take a piece of America back.
It's called truth. It's called truth.
We the last of the vintage flow as we carry it on our shoulders. I keep my friends close and the devils a lot closer. When the freedom riders approach them, they appetizers for vultures. Soldiers of fortune are never no match for soldiers of culture. My flow is so fucking honest. You said you wanted to hear it. You lied, cause all you wanted was for me to lift up the spirits. The truth is too fucking ugly, and trust me, the shit got layers. You touch me, you think you're tough, leave us toothless as rugby players. From Sufi to soothsayers, disgusting, the true saviors. We move with the gangsters, you niggas sweeter than fruit flavors. The blue slayer, proving it's true to the hide from. As you misguided, this missiles or a suicide bombers taking orders from the mullah, waiting for karma to pull up. These stones is no match for bullets. Israeli ratchets are full of. Got a race in the mean a lie, like the chasing them with a cop car. Like the honor and being a martyr and a terrorist. It's a rock star dodging the Abu Dhabi, you're dodging the paparazzi. Still probably as popular as swastikas to Nazis. The cops protect the property properly when they crack a head. Murderers get as cocky as Perseus when the cracking dead. I wonder what be running through these crackers' heads. And why niggas are spilling more blood in Cincinnati caps with black and red. I take an act effect, go back to bed. Allergic to the fumes, having a funeral for the news, cause the facts is dead. The trust is gone from the neocons to Barack Obama. America eats its young from Casey Anthony to the Octomom. Wow. Fix it and mix it up like martial arts in the octagon. Put the fire to burn down Babylon.
Take a piece of America back.
You will only learn. It's called truth.
Death by suicide bomb, Protestants, Bibles, or Quran, or Islam. From Genghis Khan to Vietnam, I can smell the napalm. Rape victims, rip stockings, redneck clan members doing church bombings. Innocent fetuses being aborted with no options. Humans, government ruining them, worrying what weapons could be used to be nuking them. Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. Slaves treated like property, to Pearl Harbor, to Hiroshima, to Nagasaki. Adolf Hitler, to every murderous Nazi, to the Gambinos, to the Gaddis, to every mafia atrocity. Child pornography, babies starving and dying in poverty. Serbians fighting Croatians in Yugoslavia. Muslim women being raped up to 40,000 in the war of Bosnia. The 50 million killed in the Second World War. The government poisoning the minds and the bodies of the babies that are born poor. Airplanes blown up by Islamic extremists and religion. There's always drama, whether worshiping the prophet of Muhammad or Jesus. Smallpox and Napoleon. Troops dying from typhus. From the Spanish flu to the Black Plague. Today it's the AIDS virus. Bodies in coffins. Political extortions. Racist mobs murdering. Willie Turks, Michael Griffith, and Yusuf Hawkins. Check the murder rate and the human nature. The murder and hate. The Catholic Church claim women were witches and burn them at the stake. By predators attacking, 38 Beretta used by Gandhi's assassin, 60 bullets in Malcolm, it happened uptown Manhattan, a homicide, Reagan, 80s epidemic, a cracking, soldiers in action, dying in Iraq, and never coming back, and now let's
take a piece of America back.
You will only learn, it's called truth, it's called truth.
All right. Welcome to Third Rail Radio Impromptu Version. My apologies. I really cannot get this whole time thing right, can I, Coach?
It's all good. Am I live?
Yeah, you are live. We are live. It is you and I.
Right on. Let me throw some headphones in. How are you feeling this fine evening?
I'm doing great, man. It's my Friday night. I figured maybe we could delve back into your old career and not talk about anything too serious, but the latest bar trends, because I am broadcasting live from a bar. Well, outside.
Yeah,
of the
it
bar right
sounds
now,
like you're hanging out with some characters in that motherfucker.
Oh yeah, it is, and this is props to Jenner's Lounge in Madison, Wisconsin. It is definitely the finest watering hole on my side of the capital.
Right on.
You know, good barkeeps. I think you would approve. A good crowd, always a good eclectic crowd, and tonight's service night, which always brings in the crazy cooks and the sort of hysterical wait staff. I guess that was a stereotype, maybe. I don't know.
I don't either, man. It's been a long time since I've frequented service industry nights. I do remember really liking them back in the day. It's pretty rare that I drink out nowadays. I do most of my boozing on my couch, which is the safest way to do it for sure. God bless the internet for keeping me entertained while I drain some brews into my gullet, which I happen to be doing tonight. Shout out to Schaefly Chocolate Stout, which happens to be my poison of the hour, and the shit is fucking delicious. So.
What? All right, who's the brewer?
Schaefly Brewery. It's out of, I think it's somewhere in the Midwest. Yeah, it's out of St. Louis.
And is that the same brewer as Schaefly's, like the old cans that were like almost as cheap as? I remember a good Schaefly's. It was like a cream lager.
Yeah.
But this is a stout.
I don't know. I kind of doubt it. I feel like these guys have not been around more than maybe like a decade. Let's see if there's anything on the bottle that may indicate when they got started. Bottled with love on 10/27/2016.
All right. Here's a quick poll of the crowd. In random order without doxing anybody, it'll be Kyle, Uncle Wes, and Becca. What?
Word. So I kind of got a situation that I don't want to pick your brain on. You want me to get into that up front, or you want to hold on to that? Yo.
Well, we're in a champagne of beers town here. There's a lot of jobs on the on the line.
I imagine Madison's a pretty hard drinking kind of spot. I've heard Milwaukee, Wisconsin is actually the number one drinking town in the country, which I'd be highly surprised
amazing.
If Louisville isn't in that top five. But
Wisconsin has 7 out of the top 10. Liquor-consuming counties in the entire country.
Yeah, that's not shocking to me either. I imagine it gets ridiculously fucking cold up there. It's kind of brandy country, so I'm sure there's plenty of good fucking brandy floating around, as well as a plethora of quality brews. So.
The old fashioned is sort of the drink of Wisconsin. I guess kind of like the mint julep is where you live.
Right.
True.
Old fashions are wildly popular in Kentucky. I hear in Wisconsin the trend is to do brandy old fashions, which I thought was kind of odd.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hold on. And this is on the way.
And that's your hipster. And you have to make it with other liquor. But tradition in Wisconsin is brandy. Always. No.
Yeah, I'm here in Louisville, Kentucky, pretty much the mecca of bourbon country. And if you made a brandy old fashioned here, you probably would get chased around with a shotgun because we put bourbon in damn near everything.
I've had bourbon syrup before.
When I've been in New York City, I have to ask the bartender, and then they have to like walk across from some fucking different situation to find a bottle of brandy, to make the traditional Wisconsin brand old fashioned.
Well, I mean the colloquialism and like the locality of cocktails, of drinks, and obviously to my co-host tonight is Coach Bourbon, was in the bar game forever and ever. And you're talking to a bar manager now, not. Or a recovering bar manager and bartender.
Gotcha.
And now Coach Bourbon has moved on from the bartending game, but he has afforded me some invaluable advice.
I still tend here and there. I'm actually a corporate trainer nowadays. So, like, I run all over the country and do bar openings.
Here's the biggest problem.
That's sexy.
Who muddles their actual old fashions from scratch or pour the simple syrup in whatever they're...
All right, well, Wes, you're a bar connoisseur. Like, if you observe the simple syrup, are you okay with it?
Not at all.
You want the muddle. you want the elbow grease put into the cocktail. I'm with you, brother. Abso-fucking-lutely. There's a right way and a wrong way.
And in northern Wisconsin, they also they stopped doing it because it was easier to do it with simple syrup. Because they have to make, like, 40 in a row.
Yeah, it's mostly an efficiency thing. Anybody who I know who does it with simple syrup or whatever, it's just so much faster. And that's a pretty time-consuming drink to make. As a connoisseur, like, when I'm making them at home, I definitely want to muddle a sugar cube or whatever. Tastes better. Looks better. You don't get the water down and this, that, and the other thing. But I do understand why a lot of bars like to do simple syrup. It's just, it's a time saver.
I gotta disagree. Like, it's not watered down. Like, a sugar cube, one sugar cube, sometimes two. You fill it with bitters. So when the sugar cube absorbs it, and then you absorb it, and you start crushing it into the that's it. Like,
right. My point about watered down was about simple syrup, because you got to put water in simple syrup, so there is some water that is undesirable when you're using simple to make an old fashioned.
Or you just cook down Coca Cola into a syrup.
I would say the simple. Like, no talking right now. Like, the simple thing is sugar cube, put it in the glass, a small glass, sugar cube, bitters. Saturate that sugar cube as much as it can, and then once it starts to bleed out, then you add the orange, fresh orange, and a fresh cherry, and then you start muddling.
All right, this is an old-fashioned recipe from Uncle Wes, which, and let me tell you, Coach, I vouch for Uncle Wes. My boy fucking knows his.
And the problem is, look
Coach does too.
Luckily here, I see too many people mixing
simple syrup.
No, mixing when they put all the ingredients together.
Yes.
They start shaking it.
All right, and from a
chemistry. It's not a shake and drink.
No.
It's not a shake and drink.
It's a muddle.
It's a muddle
and
drink.
It's a big
it's a layer drink.
Could you imagine if 007 was, like, shaking that syrup?
No.
It would completely change the character of James Bond.
You can't do that.
No, you have to muddle. And first of all, if you're in Brazil and drinking Copacabanas, it makes the bartender's forearms lovely. Female and male. I'm telling you right now. You have to put You have to put the elbow grease into the drink, and there's only one right way to do it. And, that's indicative of a lot of things now. Have you been paying attention to any news, Coach, at all? Because I know we've been off the news, both of us. What about the hockey
playoff? Don't even get me started.
Just kidding, McDavid.
I really don't pay much attention to the NHL at all. I happen to have some cousins who are huge Anaheim fucking Ducks fans. Like, it's literally all they ever fucking talk about. So they kind of keep me updated somewhat in what's going on in the world of hockey, but...
All right, Uncle Wes is cutting out. A quick round of applause for Uncle Wes, because he's a beast, dude. And
shout out to Uncle Wes.
Yeah, he's good peoples, man. And so funny, when my opening music came on, like, everybody kind of scattered. They were a little nervous that
he'd
hear you. Oh, you know, Talib Kweli and fucking...
Putting the fear of God into Madison, Wisconsin right now, are you?
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, it's the it's so funny, man. It's such this little progressive bastion in the Midwest is actually such a scaled up version of Burlington, Vermont, where it's kind of one of those things where, like, you know, you never confront race because really there's no black people around, and now
right.
They are, and they're being completely subjugated and, like, filtered into the worst fucking environment you could possibly think of, yet Madison, Wisconsin is still just, like, you know, this progressive fucking, you know, like, nest of goodness. It's so,
right.
You know, contradictory. But, I mean,
Yeah, being a college town, I imagine there's probably a lot of underlying progressivism and this, that, and the other thing. I do imagine it is also majority white and probably not even close, but... Like, how big a city is Madison? Like, outside, like, when school's out of session, like, over the summer when everybody goes home from school or whatever, like, does the town just empty out or is it still a good-sized city?
Oh, no. It's so BUW is 50,000 strong. That's, like, without,
right.
You know, like, the graduate school system. But undergrad with... faculty, TAs, teachers, everything. It's 50 grand, which is huge. You know, Burlington is 40 grand,
oh, yeah.
And the city of Madison is 500,000.
Right.
You
so
know, and
there's nine townies for every college kid there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and but townies are... Or, like, there's not a lot of town. Like, you have to go 10, 12, 15 miles out of town to find counties. You know?
Right.
Would you
say the majority of people who are full-time residents are, like, alum who just stuck around, or?
Well, that's a good mix. If they're not alums who have stuck around and they're, like, you know, 2-3-4-generation Madison, then I think, and they live within the town, then I think the, you know, sort of the progressive politics of the town has kind of caught them up. And it's also a huge union, you know, AFL-CIO town. Which
that doesn't surprise me. We've got our fair share of that, too. We've got several Ford plants in town and General Electric and this, that, and the other thing. And all of those guys are unions, so there's... quite a fucking few union motherfuckers running around Louisville as well.
Yeah. I mean, you remember the protest against then Mayor Scott Walker here. There were like 100,000 people up to this Capitol that I'm looking at this instant. And you know what's fascinating is you could drive a Ryder truck like right up to the fucking Capitol and blow it up. 7:30 Eastern, baby. 7:30 Eastern. Come on. We're a spy call.
7:10 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is serious business.
Oh, yes, we can. Some crazy Uber driver, fucking one night I was getting dropped off in my watering hole, Jenis, and he was like, yo, you want to check out some crazy shit? And I'm like, yeah, definitely. And he drove me literally right up next to the Capitol and parked his fucking Uber cab, and he was Middle Eastern, which is nuts. You know,
right.
That's ball. You know? Well, he wasn't Middle Eastern. He was Somalian.
No idea what you're talking
about. Oh, you can get right up next to the Capitol. It's just lucky some Tim McVeigh wasn't here during those student protests and didn't blow that fucking thing sky high.
What did you do that?
Who wouldn't do that?
Nobody would.
This is provocative radio. And how are the... nobody I know would ever do that. Nobody on this radio show would ever do that. However, it's doable.
Everybody likes him on discussing the possibility of it.
People love Uncle West, there's no question. Well, I mean, the possibility, this is a security flaw we're discussing. It's a vulnerability, right?
Right.
So guest X is a computer guy and knows about vulnerabilities. And I would say that's a gaping hole in like the OS X 11 or 13 or whatever has just come out, which is basically rapeable from the inside out.
Right.
OSWI. As an IT person, what do you know about this OSWI?
Are you talking to me or are you talking to somebody else?
Yeah, I'm asking you, like, what's going on with that? How could Apple fucking, in 1 week, put out an operating system or in 2 weeks, put out an operating system that is so vulnerable that fucking you can't patch it quick enough? And second, they were put in the Webster-Merriam dictionary next to the definition or the word sheeple. They were used as the first.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
None of this really surprises me, honestly.
It may be slightly embellished, but it's absolutely. Okay, so, no, it's not. So, Merriam-Webster's dictionary just put a bunch of fucking words in the dictionary for this year. One of them is sheeple.
Right.
After the semicolon that comes after sheeple, yes, you can Google it, guest X, and the first definition after sheeple is Apple users. No, but it's true, you know. This is
plug this fucking thing in.
Okay, Jeff, you please cooperate. It really is.
Fucking believe it. None of this is surprising to me at all.
Yeah, whoever was the copywriter for MerriamWebster.com was obviously an Android user. God bless him.
It's really hard to say which is worse, in all fairness. I mean, both sides of things have been pretty corrupt over the years, and as there's this interplay in government to try to get as much information on people on the internet as humanly possible, you pretty much get blueballed as a tech company unless you're willing to turn over your database, anything you can collect, or... make your platforms as easy to manipulate and collect from as humanly possible. So that's just kind of the move, and that's politics, and it is what it is. But, yeah, I'm not shocked by anything I've heard.
Fully going off the grid.
Yes. That's where we are in this community, is slowly all going off the grid, or we just work under Davy Chain's VPN. Yeah, because you have to pay taxes. Right, exactly. This is a good point. Did you hear that, Coach?
I did not.
Why bother with VPNs if you have to cover it all yourself?
Let's do this again.
We will.
It is pretty silly. I remember my day as a skid when I was fucking with a bunch of VPNs and Tor and this, that, and the other thing, and just kind of came to the conclusion... it's a lot of unnecessary hassle. Since it's new, it tends not to be efficient. There's a lot of unexpected things that can go wrong with all of that. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's always a bad idea if you're trying to do anything tech savvy in the 21st century to trust anyone else to protect your privacy or security, because you never know what their back doors may look like. So,
right.
It's one of those things, if you want it done right, you just kind of got to do it your damn self. So.
Absolutely. As far as I know, the only company that isn't completely, you know, under the thumb of the fiduciary obligations of our beautiful fucking corporatocracy is Whisper Black Phone, that company that Shadow DXS works for. Because every time they get accused of something, they just shift their corporate structure. And they never make so much money that they could, or at least they never admit to making so much money that they could hem them up.
I would argue that Apple doesn't want to be under the thumb of our corporate.
Okay, well, this is an interesting discussion, right? Like, does Apple or does they not? Like, when
look at their interactions with the FBI. They've, you know, they continually turned on the FBI when they were continually asking for Apple to unlock a terrorist's iPhone.
Yeah,
that. Certainly, it's possible to hack it, but the idea that Apple themselves will not do it is actually making a statement.
But do you think that was like smoke and mirrors, or do you think they legitimately were going to give it up? I mean,
the government eventually just paid for, like, you know, a third party to hack it,
right?
And that worked just fine. So, like,
And there were 300 people ready to hack it the day that they said they couldn't hack it.
Exactly.
At least.
But they said they wouldn't, and that's the thing. Like,
right.
You know, they're actually, like, if you do read through their privacy policy, which I know that a lot of people may think that it might just say, you know, my firstborn belongs to Apple, and blah, 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 blah. So, like, you know, I know a lot of people may think that, but they actually complied with their, you know, terms of service and their privacy agreement and didn't allow the FBI access into the iPhone. I mean, and I know it's a terrorist, and I want the fucker to get caught, but, you know. If you know, Apple actually stuck to their original gun. Yeah, they stuck to their gun. They stuck to their original plan with that, and they didn't let the federal government access a phone because they're like through them at least, you know. So of course, yeah, like I said, the government paid for it to get hacked anyway, and it's not that difficult to hack. So there's
and they didn't get shit from that phone. Where was that? A Sacramento shooting?
Yeah, they didn't get anything from it at all.
That was the dude and his lady friend there who were running around in a car shooting people with the telephone company or some shit.
Yeah.
Was it Dorner? Well, is that who it was?
Who?
Chris Dorner.
No.
Is that what that
Dorner.
Entire?
Loot Crew fucking 2008.
This was actually like a Middle Eastern man, like an Arab man.
Yeah, and
Arab.
Gotcha.
All right, we're going to switch to a quick song while I indulge myself, and then we'll be back. We'll have about 8 minutes, and Poach, enjoy that fucking stout.
No doubt. Shit's delish.
Word. Love you, brother.
Don't let them escape unpunished.
Torch pass, fall in the tall grass. Fire alarm, why is this on? What do you call that? Call it predictable political cliche. So when the movie ends, the revolution's dead. Replay the sequence of events that led to these deep divisions. I realize the order wrong, people are in prison. The children want to know if I believe in the reptilians. I tell them I don't know, but on the TV I see lizards. When action was in fashion, you were such an easy mimic. Bumper sticker quote lifting, rip no statistic. Grass for the straw man, born again cynic. Firebrand spark my suspicion. Knew you were the type to take the fight like a gimmick and rock the t-shirt when your sweat wasn't in it. The clock is still ticking for the victim of the future. You wait until they look like you to ever choose, but
which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Damn.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Ask the industry.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Ask the MC.
Generation,
but couldn't get from under they own small-minded hate crips. The same rappers say they trooping the front lines and casually use the word faggot as a punchline. That's not a man, that's not a tough guy. That is a sucker and a fraud to the culture. Hip-hop is folk music grown from the struggle, and half these fools could put the mic down and run as a Republican. Fuck them, then they learn from their own wrong. Homophobes don't go to my shows, we too strong. And if you in the front row harassing girls during a song, I'ma reach out and exactly.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
You ain't gotta like it.
Which side are you on? 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 Which side are you on?
I'm on the side of poor people getting organized. I'm on the side of choice where it is in short supply. I'm on the side of those that system doesn't. Kids are giving me shit for this, it really doesn't bother me. They were not around, but we were wrestling with poverty. So I follow none and ask no one to follow me. Use your own mind, use your heart and your anger. Check yourself because apathy is a cancer. And let your action be the answer.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
All right.
Yeah, we out here.
All right. Welcome back to Third Rail Radio. A little background noise as we are broadcasting live from Jenna's. That was B. Dolan. Which Side Are You On? An old folk riff that he has covered and done a great job with it. And Stacey,
that was dope. Thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, that's a good tune. So the tune was playing, I wanted back into the bar to grab a topic. And I'm gonna grab my boy Guy right now, and we're gonna try to work on a definition of the term cuckold.
I actually talked about that on an episode of The Agency at one point, so definitely a topic I have an opinion on.
Yes, indeed, and I did tell him that, you know, what was between our two radio shows, like, if there was a drinking game and the word was cuckold, you'd get fucked up, because we do use it quite often. so we're trying to pin it down. All right, come on outside. All right, hold on. I have to leave my beverage here. All right, we're stepping out of the background music. All right, first of all, this is my boy, Guy, he's a cook in the Madison area, and one of my cooks comes up here, and we're trying to pin down, and it's interesting because Coach Bourbon, who's on the line right now, had a show several weeks ago. One of the subtopics was actually about cuckolds, and let's start from there, Coach. Let's try to pin this down. What is a cuckold?
I think it means different things to different people when it comes right down to it. I think it's definitely a very passive kind of personality. I don't feel like it should necessarily be gender specific. A lot of people kind of inherently think that to be a cuck, you kind of got to be a dude. I don't really see it that way. Anybody that really gets pushed into situations that they know are going to be pretty self-defeating and humiliating, but don't have the gall to stand up for themselves is engaging in cuck behavior, in my opinion. So we could go further into it. Obviously, it's typically got a sexual connotation, but I don't even think it necessarily always has to be, though in origin it does appear to have evolved that way.
That's a really interesting perspective on cuck. See, I always thought, because the term cuckold, like you said, was not just specific, but I think it should be narrowed down to, like, one that gets pleasure out of seeing, like, you know, someone they're romantic with do sexual things with another person. And I think if you're using it, like, derogatively, like, as, like, a derogatory term, you can refer to anyone, like you just said, to put themselves in a, like, defeating position as a cuck or, like, a cuckold.
And just as we're discussing this, now I clearly remember what I said on your show about cuckold, because I definitely took it to that sort of dark extreme, which I tend to do, which I thought it involved a 12-inch black penis and a blonde wife.
That's funny.
Okay. And then culture taking allegedly. The other extreme, it's like a cultural colloquialism. Like, yeah.
Like you fucked yourself.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Like you just didn't stand up for yourself.
Yeah,
you didn't, you know, put forth your opinion.
So cuck is multifaceted. Like you can.
So there's porn cuck.
Porn cuck.
Which is in my savagery is what I was. Yeah. And, you know, don't go looking through my fucking browser history, Coach. You know what? It'll give you a fucking.
I would have nightmares if I did, honestly.
You would.
I'll leave that to you. Whatever you're Googling at 4 o'clock in the morning when you go home from the bar is kind of between you and whoever put that firefly.
It's between Pluto and Viz, okay? That's
and Viz?
That's
I trust Viz.
And
I'm fine with Viz, knowing.
Oh, yeah, Viz fucking has owned my bases forever, I'm pretty sure. And it's like, whatever. But back to the term.
I did not know he was my tiny ninja for the longest fucking time. It was actually Phylaxis who fucking told me. I'm like, wow, that motherfucker's been fucking hiding out right underneath my nose for quite some fucking time.
Dude, if you saw Mr. Viz, you would never, ever, and this might be a sort of a misconception that's put forth by the construct we live under, but you would never, ever think that he was the brilliant fucking genius that he is. No, he's definitely not a cuck. He is the anti-cuck.
Okay.
He cucks
he's
people.
The
he's the cucker. Viz cucks people constantly.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, no,
the grapevine. He's just like a real short, nerdy looking kind of Mexican guy or whatever. So that honestly would not be all that shocking.
No, we met in Chicago briefly, and no, he is not short nor Mexican. that might be Nick-Nack though.
Yeah.
But no.
Maybe that's what's
no,
his name,
no.
That gay dinosaur motherfucker, Spoo.
You are speaking of original handle with Pterodax, Nigger Christ? That's
no. I know what Pterodax was like. He's on fucking video all the time.
Well, he's like a gaming legend now. All right, let's show
you Cooking with the Realist is one of my favorite things from the internet over the last year or whatever, dude. His Cooking with the Realist fucking series is goddamn brilliant.
Are we witnessing some sort of brawl? Wait a second. There might be a hate crime. Were those guys fucking with those gay dudes?
I don't know when they're running, though.
Who was running?
It's two dudes. It's Brad's corner.
I you know what? If those gay guys get threatened, I will whoop some ass.
Yeah, that ain't cool.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody. No, and in fact, I think this might have been homosexual on homosexual hate crime. Because two
that's
guys are
never any
high
fun
speed.
Either, dude. Gay people are like the
What's
best
that?
Wingmen ever. Like, I have no idea why anyone would disrespect a gay man in a fucking bar. Like, that's the environment that they fucking thrive at. And they're just fucking excellent people to fucking hang out and have beers with. Like, I really just don't understand, particularly in that environment, why anyone would fuck with gay people.
This is the savagery of the blowback of having a black president for 8 years. You know, like, now everybody hates everybody, but that's absolutely. But that's the end. Yeah, these guys are drunk as fucking. Oh, let Sam take care of him. Sam will strangle them. Kyle's as sober as I've seen him in fucking 9 months. No doubt he's going in there. No doubt he's going in there fucking balls to the walls. All right, well, we have a few minutes left in regular time. Oh, actually,
I don't think we do. Cool. I think we just went into overtime.
Yeah, we did. We went into overtime. And, Coach, I'm going to let you go enjoy your stout, and I'm going to go get fucking spun.
I do kind of have something I want to pick your brain on before I let you go this evening.
Indeed.
So there's this chick I've known for a while. I used to have the biggest crush on her or whatever, and, like, she's done some industry stuff. She's never attended bar before, and I ended up in a situation where I really needed a bartender, and she's pretty interested in doing it. Do you feel like it's a bad idea for me to take someone under my wing kind of as a product that or project that I happen to be incredibly attracted to? Because it's looking like it's going to go down. I'm just kind of curious if you've ever been in a situation like that and
I'm trying to weigh
the pros and cons of all of this.
And I have to refer to Seinfeld season 5, episode 37, when George Costanza hired a he had to hire a secretary while he was working for the New York Yankees, and he literally omitted all of the beautiful applicants and he ended up hiring a sort of homely-looking redheaded woman, but he ended up sleeping with her nonetheless. And my point to Anne giving her a $35,000 raise in the midst of orgasm. So I guess my I guess my point would be you never know what's going to happen. I think if you have a pre-awareness that you are attracted to this potential protege, then
right.
there's a lot of knowledge going in. And you're a pretty ethical dude, so, you know. But, I
yeah.
mean, if it's love, I wouldn't fight it just because
oh,
you're
yeah,
working
for
together.
Sure. No doubt.
But, you know.
Dating coworkers
like,
is the fucking weirdest. I've had a couple fucking forays with that, and doesn't really fit me real well just because I kind of like to have a lot of my own space and this, that, and the other thing, particularly if I'm spending a lot of time with people away from work. So kind of an inherent situation where we're forced to be together in large amounts of time, like, can kind of head into overload for me. It's not the, like, awkward, if something goes wrong, there's no getting away. It's like, I just want to get away just to get the fuck away. Like, I like to spend a lot of time just, like, thinking and not having, you know, to navigate conversations.
Well, like
and,
I said, a cerebral guy, you're pretty ethical, and I myself don't like to cross streams. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's a big like stream crosser there, work and attraction. Now it has been pulled off with some success, but I think the success rate
yeah.
is extremely low.
I feel like
the
success rate is extremely low. I feel like the one thing I do have going for me here is she's got two kids that are fairly fucking small. So it's not like we really could spend all the time in the world together because she's got to fucking hang out and raise these two fucking kids. I'm obviously a 33-year-old single fucking bachelor, so most of my free time I spend
on
my couch.
Right now.
You're going to
go
ahead and what?
Put the kibosh on that right now. Two children are an extremely high maintenance proposition.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Not that you couldn't
handle
it emotionally.
It's not like I would even consider in the back of my head moving in with this chick tomorrow or whatever. Like, but yeah, I do understand there's two kids in her life, and we've been really good friends for a really long time. It's not really an issue for me that there's two fucking kids in her life. Should we end up in a situation where we get really into each other, then that's something we'd have to do a lot of talking about. But the way our relationship works right now, it's not really a major issue. Like I said, it's kind of relieving to me just because it's something that she has to do, you know, kind of on her own. So it kind of creates a separation of sorts, which I like to have inherently natural. So...
I'm not trying to be vulgar, but I'm urinating, so I'm trying to urinate against it.
Zero fucks given, my dude. I could fucking care less. As long as you're not on video, then I don't really care, dude. Audio is fine.
Exactly. And bless the fucking...
Did you catch any of this Twitter karaoke party we had Saturday night?
No, I didn't hear about it because...
I don't know how you feel about karaoke. I know you like to go on stage and tell jokes or whatever, but I have a funny feeling it's something that probably would happen again. It was wildly fucking entertaining. So if that's something you think you might be down for, I would flippin' love to get you in on a Twitter karaoke session sometime because it was good fucking time.
I'm in support of Twitter karaoke. Complete.
Yeah. Yeah, Stepford and Vert got in for a while, and they were fucking hilarious. They did, like, the country version of fucking Gin and Juice, and I was just, like, rolling on the floor, dude. It was so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, I'm like, ow, fuck, I fucking just slammed my fucking hand in the door. Son of a bitch, I'm fucking litigating. But either way, yeah, like, the whole stand-up, like, joke thing has been so cathartic, man. Like, and it started with the radio show, so quick shout out to Rebel and fucking Pop and Vincenzo from the old school, because definitely my fear of crowds has diminished.
Right. Yeah, I never really liked being on stage. Like, I played a lot of music when I was a younger guy or whatever. I was in a jazz band in high school that probably played like 150 gigs my senior year. We were literally playing like every other fucking day, and some decent venues and whatnot. Like, probably the biggest gig in Louisville if you're an up-and-coming band. We have a NPR station that does a live broadcast at noon on Fridays or whatever. And they just kind of put on, like, bands that are kind of developing a following that haven't really, like, broken out yet, but are kind of on the verge of doing that. So we did that my senior year, and that was fucking fun. They recorded it and made a fucking record off of it, and we sold like 25,000 of these fucking things, which for being an 18-year-old, you know, amateur musician in Louisville, Kentucky, is a pretty big accomplishment. So.
And VPR does that, Vermont Public Radio. I don't know if they do that in Madison, but VPR does that, and it works really well for local musicians. And that's your
right.
next show. And now, Coach, I need to go get spun.
All right, dude, do your thing. Go take a couple shots for me. I will catch
I
you
will,
next
brother.
Time, for sure.
Absolutely.
Feel
much
free
love,
to come hang out on Friday night for the agency fucking thing, and we'll take
Always.
It from there.
Oh,
I did drop
this
chick's ad that I'm talking about in your fucking DMs, too. You definitely need to fucking hit her account up and let me know what you think.
Word, I will, brother.
Word.
You're
All
the
right,
best,
brother.
Coach. Agency Radio coming up on Friday night at, okay, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. I think I just nailed
Word.
It. Word. Yep, peace, my brother.
All right, brother. Cheers.
Cheers out from Third Rail Radio. Be well, peace.
Yeah, 34. I mean,
there was definitely, I would say between, you know, 3 and 14, 15 were really rough, and then probably between, like, 15 and 22 was pretty rough, fairly rough.
Thank you. My hair is actually falling out.